It takes but very little knowledge of our history to recognize that the home is not what it used to be. Things today are different, especially in regards to the home and the family. I appreciate the selection of songs that Brother Paul had for us. Those songs remind us in so many ways of what we would like to see our entire nation, in fact the entire world, go back to, but certainly what you and I as Christians need to hold to insofar as our families are concerned. You know, just a few short years ago, the general rule was that the father made the living and the mother kept the home. Children were desired and loved, and parents sacrificed, and children obeyed. And today it just seems that things are not that way, and not in just one way, but in so many ways, things are so very different today. And that difference, I believe, and I'm sure you will agree, those differences have made a tremendous impact on our society and the culture in which we live. Our nation, our community, and even the church suffers because of a lot of the changes that the home has undergone. When we look around us today and try to see exactly what has caused some of these things, and we might very well call them problems. What's caused some of these problems? There are several things that come to mind. Materialistic attitudes seem to prevail in the hearts of so many people. Everything seems to be about material gain, worldly goods, and having and keeping and obtaining more and more and more of those things, to the loss and to the sacrifice of so many other things that God's Word tells us are much more important. Selfishness has got to rank up there close to the top of reasons why there are so many problems in so many families today. Selfishness, I believe, lies at the root of so many families that have been torn asunder through divorce. Selfishness has caused children to go hungry. It has caused spouses to be abused. It has caused tremendous tension and stress to become a part of daily existence in families, where the family ought to be a place of refuge and calm and peace. We certainly couldn't leave neglect off of the list. The neglect of principles and values that are rooted in the principles and values of righteousness. And yet those things that so many people have turned their backs on in the pursuit of careers and success and accomplishments and worldly goods, and on the list could go. But perhaps the lack of respect for God and His Word maybe the one that sums all of those other problems up, because of a failure or a refusal on the part of so many people who know better to respect God, the refusal to respect God and to honor His Word has led to the destruction of so many families today. Our lesson this morning is entitled, What Have They Seen in Your House? It comes from a passage in 2 Kings chapter 20. And it's actually the prophet Isaiah who asked that question. In 2 Kings chapter 20, we find Hezekiah, the king of Judah, and a good king, a righteous king, one who accomplished many good things for the cause of Jehovah. And yet Hezekiah had been very badly ill and was at the point of death. And you may remember that he prayed to God that his life could be spared in order that he might be able to continue. And God indeed allowed him to recover. And you remember he was enabled to stay on the throne for many years after that. And there in 2 Kings chapter 20, I'd like for us to begin reading at verse 12. At that time. Now that's the time after Hezekiah had recovered from his illness. At that time, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had learned that Hezekiah had been very sick. And Hezekiah was attentive to them. And he showed them all the house of his treasures, the silver and the gold, the spices, precious ointment, and all of his armory, all that was found among his treasures. And there was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah, and he said, "What did these men say? And from where did they come to you?" So Hezekiah said, "They came from a far country, from Babylon." And Isaiah said, "What have they seen in your house?" So Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them." And Isaiah went on that occasion to explain to Hezekiah that his little bout with showmanship had really backfired, because there was going to come a time when the Babylonians would come and they would take all of the treasures of the king's house. He was assured that it wouldn't take place during his time. And then the Bible records something very interesting. It says that it didn't bother Hezekiah because he realized that it would take place after his time. How many times have we given consideration to that same kind of question that Isaiah asked Hezekiah? Maybe we were preparing to entertain guests in our home, or maybe we thought about that question after they had left. And not from the standpoint of making sure they noticed all of the valuables and all of the treasures that we have, but most of us, usually from the standpoint of, "Oh dear, was the floor clean? Were the beds all made? Was everything in its place? What did they see? What did they find when they came to our house?" I have an idea that there are a lot of our ladies here. In fact, I know one or two of them pretty well, who pride themselves in keeping a clean house and an orderly arrangement. But I want you to help me as we entertain that question this morning. Not from the standpoint of a physically clean house, but from a spiritual standpoint, from a spiritual perspective. When people look at our house, our home, our family, what have they seen? What have they seen in our house? Is it good or is it bad? I've prepared a few slides for the screen to illustrate a few points that I think we need to give some consideration to as we consider that question, what have they seen in your house? First of all, we need to answer the question, have they seen biblical roles for each family member in the house? Scripture sets forth the proper roles that family members are to have. And I'll be honest with you, there are a lot of people today who really resent that. There are some folks who just absolutely resent in a really big way the fact that the New Testament tells us in no uncertain terms of certain roles that we as family members need to fill. Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 to 21 is a good place to start. And there Paul says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord. And husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Maybe we should start at the top. Fathers and husbands ought to be the cornerstone of discipline in the home. They ought to exhibit the strength of love in the home. And they must never forget that we are the upholders of ultimate responsibility as the head of the house. You see, a Christian husband and father needs to be the right kind of man. He must be the kind of man who will bear up under the weight of adversity. He needs to be the kind of person who will seek the spiritual welfare of each member of the family, including himself. A Christian husband and father must be a gentleman always in everything. Violence, sensuality, greed, those kind of things must be far, far from his behavior, lest he lose the souls that have been entrusted to his care. He must fill the role of teacher for his children in so many ways. In fact, I think we could say the reluctance of men to fill their God-given roles today is becoming the shame of our very culture. The value of the home is greatly increased or diminished by the wife and mother in that home. A Christian wife and mother helps to set the moral tone of that home, and she will often be called upon to exhibit the greatest sacrifice. In real terms, her job is never done. Neither by day or by night. It is constant. It is abiding. It is always there. The demands never cease. And she must be constantly involved in helping to manage the home and to care for its resources in the way that she can. Her life should light up the home like a beacon in the night. Her joy is in her family. And she should project the love of the Lord in her attitude and in her spirit. The role of Christian sons and daughters in the home has fallen under disregard today. And it's even the subject of contempt by those who foster the idea that somehow rebellion and recklessness is a wholesome part of the life of young people growing up. Children must be obedient to their parents, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. According to Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 that we read a few minutes ago. And in fact, in Romans chapter 1, verse 30, we find the sin, disobedience to parents, listed right alongside some of the most egregious sins of that day. Children must be respectful. They must be respectful to their parents, and they must be respectful to their Heavenly Father and His will. Christian children need to be modest. They need to be modest in a time when modesty is not really all that popular, especially among young people. Christian children ought to be known for their integrity, for their honesty, for their morality. Deceit and deception ought to be the farthest things from their daily lives. The easiest way to become godly spouses and righteous parents is to live lives of godly righteousness as children. And so in our homes, have they seen each family member filling the God-given role? Secondly, I would ask you to consider this question. Have they seen good influence in your house? You know, like the ripples that surround a splash in the surface of the water, influence, whether it's good or bad, just radiates out from every home. In so many ways, that influence is silent. In so many ways, that influence is very loud. But influence is always there. It should be seen in the form of instruction and teaching that's given in the home. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, God paid a tribute to Abraham. He said, "For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, and to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul speaks of his joy. He says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also." Paul said there's a good reason why Timothy has such a strong faith. It's because of the influence of his grandmother and his mother, those who raised him up. And so it is today. It's very rare to find children who have grown up to be people of strong faith when they were raised by parents whose faith was weak. I didn't say it's impossible. I didn't say it never happens. But it's rare. And the reason is that faith, that influence of faith, is passed on as children are raised in the way that they should be. The influence of godly example is so very powerful in the home. The things that children observe in us will be longer remembered usually than the things that they hear us say. And if the things that we say are not reinforced by what they see us do, then the end result is detriment for sure. I read about a bald-headed merchant. Head just as shiny as it could be, all over. Was standing in his doorway one day, and a man stopped in to ask if he had any hair restorer. "Yes, sir, step right inside. Here's a product that I can heartily recommend. Testimonials are coming in from everywhere, from people who have used it. Why, this stuff makes hair grow in 24 hours. That prospective customer said, "Okay, why don't you just rub a dab of it on top of your head and I'll be back tomorrow to see if you're telling the truth." You see, that's the strength of backing up what we say by what's done. Is there good influence in your house, in your home? Have they seen prayer? You know, some families these days scarcely even bow their heads together and offer thanks before they eat a meal. Now, part of the problem is that fewer and fewer families ever eat meals together, I'm sure. But I can assure you that that's one situation that I can remember so vividly from my childhood, is the importance of not touching a morsel of that food until we had offered thanks. The reality is that there are some children who get the impression that that's the only kind of prayer that ever needs to be uttered in the house. That too is an inadequate impression. Do your children see any prayer in the home? If so, how much? Do they ever get the impression in the home that prayer is the natural response to times of distress and difficulty and problems? Do they get the impression that prayer is the natural result of joy and happiness, thankfulness for the good blessings that everyone enjoys? Do they get the impression that prayer is a vital part of making difficult decisions? Have your children seen their parents pray? Then we could consider the question, have they seen Bible study in the home? Or is the only time they're exposed to Bible study in Sunday school class? Or maybe on Wednesday night? Certainly there are a lot of folks who really feel that they've accomplished something great so far as the training and the rearing of their children, because as they'll quickly tell you, oh, I always have them there for Sunday school. Or they never miss a Wednesday night. That's good. That's very important. But what goes on in the home? Have they seen the Bible studied and read in the home? Three very important questions come to mind. Number one, have your children ever seen your Bible? Some of the most fascinating things that I can remember have to do with the things that were on my dad's desk in his study when I was growing up. Now, granted, you know, the son of a preacher, you'd think would always be exposed to the Bible, but I can tell you and describe in minute detail to this day just exactly what the Bible looked like that my dad used most. And it was very, very used. Have they seen your Bible? Do they know what its role is? Do they understand its role to be something other than just lying out on the coffee table for a company to see? Do they understand that it's something more than just a big old book that's always given a prominent place on the bookshelf in the living room? Do they understand what its role is and how that translates into how you live? And then the third question, have you guided them through it? Some folks make a lot out of giving a child his or her first Bible, and that's important. But I'm here to tell you it doesn't do any good just to give them one if you're not willing to spend some time in leading them through it. To just hand it to them and say, here, go read this, isn't going to do the trick. In our homes, do they see the Bible studied and read? One final question and we'll be through. In your house, what have they heard? What have they heard? If you've ever taught children in school, or you better brace yourself for this, or in Sunday school class, you sometimes get a pretty broad sampling of some things that are said around the house. In fact, there are some just plain old family secrets that are revealed by children who are big enough to hear and understand and to talk, but not to understand the need for confidentiality. Are your children, are my children hearing things that I wouldn't want them to repeat outside the house? Are they hearing the kind of language that I'd be embarrassed if someone else heard? What do they hear in our house? Do they hear any encouraging words? There is no better place for encouraging words to be bouncing off the walls than in the home. Oh, it's important in a place like this, and part of my responsibility is to speak encouraging words as I stand before a congregation like this. But this pales in comparison to the importance of encouraging words in the home. And there are some children who grow up having never heard an encouraging word in the home. What about proper values taught and emphasized? Do they hear that emphasis given to a value system that grows out from Scripture? Pure speech? Do they hear pure speech in our homes? Paul said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may administer grace to its hearers." Ephesians 4:29. Is that what they hear in our homes? I want to share with you something that I don't know who wrote this. It seems to be pretty good information. It's entitled, "The Most Important Words in the House." The six most important words to be heard in the house are, "I admit I made a mistake." Not only are those very important, they are very difficult to utter. And the older we get, the harder they are to say. The five most important words around the house are, "You did a good job." You did a good job. There are too many children who are growing up without ever hearing that. That needs to be tempered. That needs to be balanced with the proper correction and discipline. But there are some houses that those five words have been totally abandoned. The three most important words, or four most important words, what do you think? What do you think? Gentlemen, let me tell you, our wives really appreciate hearing those words. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to sell the farm and you're going to totally surrender your control as head of the house, but I can assure you that being the head of the house will be a much easier task if every now and then you'll ask those four words. What do you think? The three most important words, "if you please." The two most important words, according to this little thing, "thank you." Thank you. The one most important word, "we." You see, it's all about "we." Because, as every one of us should know, the least important word is "I." That's the least important word. What have they seen? in your house? Have they seen everyone filling their role according to Scripture? Have they seen the kind of influence that has its root in righteousness and godliness? Have they seen those things that are so important, like prayer and Bible study? And what are they hearing in your house, in my house? Those things are so very important.